It's time now for Tiger Talk Overtime.
We should embrace playing the gold standard of this conference right now. You should welcome that. You should want that. You should want that experience. It should burn within you to say, I want that opportunity.
Nobody split. Give the ball up and over and in. I believe. Touchdown Auburn. Well, that was sure second effort by Bo Jackson. He just got hit behind the line of scrimmage. Everybody knew what was coming. Alabama knew what was coming. Bo Jackson just on sheer effort got it in.
Out of shotgun, Patrick Nix. Alabama bringing everybody. Nix is going to float one for Sanders. Oh, he caught it at the two, and he dived in. Touchdown, Auburn! Touchdown, Auburn! Oh, my goodness!
Carnell Williams at the tailback. They'll hand it off to Williams up the middle. 25, cuts it inside. 30, 35, 40. There goes Cadillac. To the 50, to the 40, to the 30, to the 20, to the 15, 10. Go crazy, Cadillac! Go crazy! Touchdown! There goes Davis.
Oh, my God!
Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game. He ran the missed field goal back. He ran it back 109 yards. They're not going to keep him off the field tonight.
Road, home, dirt, grass, it don't matter. Just give us that opportunity. That's the fire that is within us.
First down and 10, just inside of midfield. Here's Cam on the fake, right up the middle, breaks a tackle at the 40, stays on his feet, 35-30, 25-20, Peterson, the one man to beat, at the 5, he is in! Touchdown, Auburn! Flash that smile, Cam!
Byron waits for the snap into place, there it is, the kick is up, the kick is good! Auburn wins! 22-19!
Tiger Talk Overtime is presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, call the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line now at 343-0106. Now, here's your host, Doug Holton.
Good evening, everyone. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there. Hope you had a great day today. Watch some football and had a great meal with your family. It is Iron Bowl week. What more can we say? What more can anybody say? It is Auburn and Alabama this Saturday in Tuscaloosa. And after last weekend, there is hope for the Auburn Tigers. And we'll see what happens. We've got a great show lined up for you. Taping a little bit earlier this week, so you can just sit back and enjoy the show this week. We're going to talk to Brian Brinsfield in just a second, get his take on the game. Also, Coach Fred Riley will be with us a little bit later in the show to talk about his perspective on the game. And in the second half hour tonight, very special interview with former Auburn Tiger quarterback Randy Campbell, who won the Walter Gilbert Award a couple of weeks ago. If you were there for the ULM game, you saw him on the field. And we'll talk to Randy, reminisce a little bit about 1982, get his take on the Tigers this year, and much more. Let's hear from the head coach, though, before we get started tonight, as Coach Hugh Freeze was at the mic this week, talking about the game and talking about what Auburn might have gotten out of the win over Texas A&M. Did they get that belief that they can beat any team in the SEC?
You have zero chance of winning if you don't have a belief that you can do it. And I think somewhere along the line in these difficult losses, we've started believing more. And hope has become a real thing that you can go on the field and beat good football teams. You've played close games with them, but you can win them. And it's going to take, you know, an amount of that belief going into Tuscaloosa to win. It's not an easy place to play.
Okay, I want to welcome into our microphones Brian Brinsfield to talk some Iron Bowl. Brian, of course, former Auburn Tiger and a former Fairhope Pirate. Brian, great to see you. Happy Thanksgiving. Hope all is well in the great state of Tennessee.
Happy Thanksgiving, Doug. It's been a good one and cold one up here in Tennessee. It's been cold all week, but good Thanksgiving. Hope you had a good one down there.
Absolutely. It's been a great week to be an Auburn Tiger after the win last week. We got a big win over A&M, which was much needed, and I think it soothed a lot of wounds and and kind of change the atmosphere going into this Iron Bowl in Tuscaloosa Saturday, a place that we haven't won in a while.
Yeah, I think you saw a momentum maybe shift after that game. And I want to give a congratulations to our fans for showing up and being there really all season. But showing up Saturday night in the cold and sticking it out. And then also, what a great way for those seniors to go out. I know it's been a rough year, rough 2 years. For some, heck, a rough 6 years.
Yeah.
If they've been there for that long, or 5 years, whatever
like
it's
Luke
been.
Luke Deal.
Like Luke Deal. He's been there, you know, he's got children now that are probably right behind him. But it's wonderful. I lost my senior day and it's I know it's really rewarding for them to go out on a win, their last game to ever play and walk off Jordan Hare to get a victory. So, but going into, not only did we get a win Saturday night, but Alabama lost.
Yeah.
And just the juxtaposition of going into this week, in just a couple days and playing them, you know, it's, you don't know what's going to happen. And you never do in this game. But just having what happened last Saturday just puts more fuel on the fire.
Yeah, and a couple things jumped in my head when you were talking there about the Auburn fans. And I heard Cam Coleman talk about the fans rushing the field after the game. And he was just thinking, wow, this is the real college football deal right here, yeah. You know, and the Auburn fans are really second to none in the country. And you hear the announcers on TV that probably hadn't been to Jordan Hare a lot, but they're like, wow, you know, this is a great place to play college football.
Yeah. Well, I know Riddick, the color commentator, he said he had never been to Auburn, and he was blown away by the atmosphere, by the noise, and, you know, by the students' energy, and, you know, I think the light show and all of that has become a, it's a show, but man, you know, think even next year, we're going to get Cam to stick around and we beat Alabama in Jordan here.
Yeah.
Then Cam will really see what an atmosphere is like.
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing that popped in my head was, you know, you talked about Auburn winning and Alabama losing on the same weekend. I still haven't watched the Alabama game yet against Oklahoma, but you have to wonder, how does that happen against the Sooners? Such a lopsided affair. But you see those points in history, Brian, I think, and we talked about a few before we came on and this week, but, you know, you think about 1982 when Bo went over the top. I'm sure there were more before my time in the, you know, late 60s or when things changed with Coach Jordan and Coach Bryant. And I always think about 82, you know, when the momentum kind of changed for the Auburn Tigers after the long dry spell there. And I kind of got that same feeling at the end of the game last weekend against Texas A&M. Finally, things went Auburn's way with Dre catching the touchdown pass in the end zone. And for whatever reason, Texas A&M drops the ball right in their hands.
Yeah.
You know, things go Auburn's way and you look on your phone and Alabama's losing 24-3 or whatever. To Oklahoma. So, you know, is it one of those times kind of popped in my head?
Yeah. And you kind of go back to maybe 2013 when the prayer in Jordan Hare where the ball popped around a couple of times at Georgia and just you think, okay, is it destiny? And going into the Alabama game and then you had the kick six but there's so many monumental games. And I remember growing up in Spanish Fort, you know, the week of the Iron Bowl and the day after or the Monday after usually the Iron Bowl was played. It was usually cold and the windows of the bus, somebody inevitably would write the score on the windows of the bus or this in Spanish Fort Estates, somebody would spray paint, the Auburn score and the Alabama score above and below the stop sign, the stop on the sign. It's, you know, it's just such a big deal. And there's such, so many big games, you know, the 89 game, and there's people that I wasn't there, but there was people that I played with that just said it was unlike anything you've ever seen before. The dust coming off the shaker, the old paper shakers. And Tiger walk took 45, 50 minutes to walk through. And then the 93 game that I played in that nobody get to salt and see, except if you were in the stadium. So it's a fun week.
Yeah, no question. 89 was a unique game for the Auburn Tigers and for the series, with Coach Dye bringing the game to Auburn for the first time, and then three in a row at Legion Field. As Coach Dye said, he threw him a little bone, and then your time came at Auburn, and you guys had a little success against Alabama, right?
Yeah, well, a little. We beat them once out of 4 years, but we beat them the year that mattered in 93 at home. And you know, Patrick obviously threw the ball to Frank, and just great Saturday afternoon that, again, nobody got to see, that everybody got to hear on the radio, and because it wasn't on TV, but just so many great games. And then you go into the time that we go to Tuscaloosa, and we were talking about this right before, you know, we came on the air, and how many we won straight in Tuscaloosa. And I think you even said what's our record in Tuscaloosa?
Yeah, I think it's still 7-4 Auburn as far as games that have been played in Tuscaloosa. So we still have a little edge there.
Yeah. I can't get the feeling out of my craw that they may be back on their heels a little bit, like you started this conversation with. They may be, you know, they may have gotten knocked in the face a little bit last week, and if you look at the stats, it's not real hard to see how Oklahoma did it. They did it by stopping Norrow on the run. They made him throw the ball. He threw three interceptions. He ran for only 15 times for 7 yards. Mm-hmm. So you know, maybe DJ can come up with a game plan, and we stop Milroe, and that stops their offense.
And it has to be. I know I've said about Auburn from the beginning of the season, it's hard once you get past game 3 or game 4 or game 5 and you don't have anything to play for anymore.
Yeah.
Well, now Alabama's there.
Yeah.
So they've got, when's the last time they had 3 losses?
That's right.
In the regular season.
Yeah, I think I heard this morning it was like 2008 or 2011, maybe it's 2011.
Yeah.
So we're both playing for pride right this second, but right now, because of last Saturday, our momentum is swinging up, and you gotta feel that their locker room is a little bit down, because they were, I mean, listen, they were playing to go to a college football championship.
Oh yeah.
Or an SEC championship, or both. And now that's done. That's unless Alabama's Alabama, and that the football gods rain down upon them, and they put them in that 12 spot. Which, well, listen, I wouldn't put it past them.
Well, we can put it into that Saturday if we play a good game. I think let's talk about that a little bit for a minute. And last weekend's game with Texas A&M. Something we haven't, I'm trying to think back, something we really haven't seen this year against a good team, have we? A 21-0 lead at the beginning of the game. We have an explosive play, a couple of them to Cam.
Yeah.
And we jump out to a big lead, and it evaporated during the game. But Charquez had a pretty good night, 4 or 5 yards of carry, 130 yards. We had, and we were talking before, we had a 100-yard rusher. We had two 100-yard passers, I mean, receivers, and we had a 300-yard passer, which is something we haven't seen in a while.
Complete offensive game. And I talked a couple weeks ago about the stats, and that we were 40th in the country in rushing and 50th or 60th in passing, but we couldn't score. Well, we took care of that in the first half the other night. A complimentary offensive game in the first half. I think you asked the question, have we done it before this year? The only game I was thinking of, and I thought about it this morning, we jumped out, I think, on Missouri and got up 16 or 17, 18
yeah,
points,
I think,
and
we're
they
up
came
70,
back,
right?
And they came back on us. So we got to do something about the comeback. We got to get up. And then I was thinking about it. Why couldn't we score 21 additional you know, and then what did our defense do? Because our defense, man, they were getting, especially our front four or five guys last night were getting after it in the first half. You know, they called out Crawford and Falk and Kerryon and those guys, just their names one after the other. You know, there are linebackers, Riddick, the young kid, they were everywhere. But you're right. Our offense, we played a complete ball game, running the ball like we should, throwing the ball intermittent and down the field, scoring when we, I think we scored in our first three or four drives. Yeah. And that's what it's going to take Saturday night, is for us to have good yardage, but then put the ball in the end zone.
Brian Brensfield, former long snapper for the Auburn Tigers in the early 1990s. Always appreciate Brian's time, especially on Thanksgiving week, but it is Iron Bowl week. And when we come back on Tiger Talk Overtime, we'll visit a little bit with Coach Fred Riley. And also later coming in the second half hour of the show, very special interview with Randy Campbell, former Auburn Tigers quarterback. All that and more coming your way in just a few minutes. Stay right here. It's Auburn, Alabama this weekend, 2:30 in Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, call the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line now, 343-0106.
I'm just going to be balls to the wall every time. Because, like I said, Bama is a big rival team. Every rival team I played, I never lost to. And I will not lose to Bama while I'm here.
Auburn's DeMarcus Riddick confident going into the Alabama game this weekend, to say the least. His comments coming earlier in the week. Joining us now on the line, Coach Fred Riley, the former grad assistant for Coach Pat Dye back in 1982. Again, Randy Campbell coming in just a little bit, who played on that 82 team as well, and the winner of the Walter Gilbert Award a couple of weeks back. We'll be chatting with Randy in just a second. But Coach Riley, welcome into the show. DeMarcus Riddick, he hasn't been in one of these big Iron Bowl games playing on the field. He's probably been at one. And the Auburn offense has had some problems at Bryant-Denny Stadium and in Tuscaloosa as of late. Haven't won there since 2010. Anything in particular you tell these guys going into this ball game, or is it just do what you do?
These guys, it's not the first time they've been in a place this loud in their life, and they'll deal with it. How do you quiet people, a crowd like that? You run the ball. That's how you quiet them. You're boring and make 4 yards. And make first downs and quiet them down. You stay out of third and 15s where you know that here they come. The other thing is I get frustrated when a coaching staff puts way too much on a quarterback to try to do things at the line of scrimmage in a stadium that loud. Yeah. And then you walk up there and you're trying to sort through things, and all of a sudden you've lost sight of the play clock and you get either the delay a game or have to burn a timeout, or one of your linemen jump. Because he's just been standing there so long. And they have the linemen have sort of a clock in their head, a rhythm that they get used to, that the ball gets snapped sort of on at this point in time. When you get past that, doing all that, you just probably just have been better off running the play that was called. And if they're blitzing, you're throwing it hot. And if it was a run, okay, they get you in a second down. I mean, don't, even last week with no crowd issues, we had three flinches in the last drive to kick the field goal, and the crowd was basically silent, we're at home, and all of them were up there walking up, trying to make adjustments that, sometimes you just don't go from a good play to a better play. Just run the good play. Yeah. It's okay. As opposed to losing your rhythm.
Yeah. So keep it simple, limit the mistakes, kind of like any game.
Yeah, and again, hopefully, I think for us to win this game, we've got to run the ball, control it like Oklahoma, but we got to have a cheap one somewhere. I mean, it's got to be a combination of the two. I mean, we got to get a cheap something, whether it's a pick six like Oklahoma did, or a cheap post or a trick play that works. I mean, you know, it's only every now and then one of the above wins. Usually in a game like this, it takes two of the above, a cheap points, and, you know, and being able to run the ball and control the number of snaps their offense gets. It's probably going to take both of those to win this, which, again, it happened. That's how Oklahoma won the game.
Yeah. Maybe that fake flea flicker that Jarquez tried to run the other night works this week.
Yeah, I promise you, that was a heck of a call, heck of a play by him, because I bet you in practice the linebacker never blitzed in practice.
Yeah,
I bet you in practice it was nice and easy, run it up in there and toss it back. They completed, everybody bangs their hands together, and this was going to work. And that was a really good by him to not just – that thing could have blown up and just been awful.
Coach, can you pick out any obvious keys to victory this week for Auburn? Obviously, they gained some hope and some confidence last week with a win over Texas A&M. That was a huge, huge scene and a huge momentum builder last weekend at Jordan-Hare.
Every now and then, you need to get a little lucky to turn things around. Yeah. And whether it's a kid dropping a pass in the end zone on a 2-point conversion, you know, the emotion that happened at that moment, the cool thing with all of the prospects being the first people to run on the field celebrating that they had gotten so involved in that football game, and it all happened right in front of them. I mean, there was certainly a feeling of this is more than just winning a game. I mean, you hope to look back and say, that was it right there. You hope to be able to pinpoint that. And win or lose this game this week, not letting – if by chance don't win the game this week, don't lose that energy that came from that moment and carry it into offseason, carry it into recruiting, and for better things down the road.
Yeah, certainly gave Auburn hope, and it was a great way for the seniors to go out at Jordan-Hare. Coach, keep that household intact this weekend. Again, happy Thanksgiving. Hope you're feasting on some good turkey and other things, and enjoy the game this weekend and War Eagle.
War Eagle. And one thing I do want to throw in there, the fact that Jarquez Hunter is the only senior left from 2021.
Yeah.
That is pretty significant. When you start talking about turning a program and building a program and there's one guy left, I mean, that almost tells the whole story in itself. You've got to be really proud of him and what he's done for you.
Coach Fred Riley, and when we come back, we'll have the Horizon Financial Halftime Report. Our very special guest, former Auburn quarterback and Walter Gilbert Award winner, Randy Campbell, joins us in just a minute. Stay here.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, call the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line now, 343-0106. Now, back to Doug Holton.
Welcome back, everyone. Time now for the Horizon Financial Halftime Report, brought to you by Horizon Financial. Come with us and experience the Horizon difference. Joining us now, former Auburn Tigers quarterback Randy Campbell, who guided the Tigers to that victory in the Iron Bowl in 1982, bow over the top, very well documented by now. And Randy, also the winner a couple of weeks ago at the ULM game of the Walter Gilbert Award. Happy Thanksgiving. Congratulations on that award. I know it was special with all your family there.
Yeah, that was very special. That's a very special award. It's considered the highest award that a former Auburn athlete from any sport can be recognized for. Very humbling, quite a surprise to me. And, I had five teammates on the field. I had family on the field and Jack Crow, and who was my quarterback coach, was there, and Rusty and Sally Dean. They were the dorm parents at Sewell Hall, and I've remained extremely close with them. You know, Rusty played here in the 70s, was all SEC defensive end, and they're like family to me as well. And very special day.
Yeah. Well, of course, it is Thanksgiving. That usually means Iron Bowl week.
That's right.
What did you make out of last Saturday for the Tigers finally winning one in the last few seconds and four overtimes and on the other side of the state wasn't so good. So it was a good Saturday, and I don't know what that means heading into this weekend. What do you think?
It seems like, it's just a week-to-week thing, and you never know how somebody's going to play from week to week. It's very obvious anybody in the SEC can beat any other team in the SEC. There's a lot of parity. Before the game this past week, I had a lot of texts from friends and family, and everybody kind of seemed to have that feeling because the theme was, hey, I really think we can win this one. What do you think? I don't have a crystal ball, but my response was always, look, if we can just play a complete game, 60 minutes, and then we can win the game. And this was about as close to doing that as we could possibly do. Mm-hmm. And I'm thrilled for the players, to win a big SEC game at home. It was, I was in the stadium. The atmosphere was electric. I had a friend of mine from Boston came down and brought his son, who's an 11th grader, plays tight end at his high school. It was the first time his son had ever been to Auburn, first time he'd ever been in a big college football stadium. And to see that game, he went down the field after the game. It was just a really special night. And I'm just very, very proud of the players, the coaches. And, we went to the Friday luncheon. I took my two guests to the Friday luncheon, and they had a panel of current athletes. I think there were four from two female athletes and then two male athletes from different sports. And one of them was Luke Deal. And I've met him a couple of times. So when they got finished, I went up and said hello and introduced him to my friend's son, Michael, who's, the high school tight end. I said, hey, this is what an SEC tight end looks like. Yeah. But I asked him, I said, I'm sure you studied the film. The whole team has studied the film on South Carolina and Texas A&M. What did they do different, to win that game?
Mm-hmm.
And he basically said they ran the football because Texas A&M's defensive front is very talented. A lot of, high draft picks are going to come out of there, and they knew it was going to be difficult to protect the passer. And so the game plan was to run more. And I think they did. I mean, I think Peyton ended up with maybe 31 passes, and some of those were in overtime, so I don't keep up with a lot of stats, but I would imagine that the number of passing attempts were a little bit lower than our average for the year.
Yeah.
Jarquez had a great game. Just put it all together.
Yeah. That I was a little surprised that Texas A&M didn't put more pressure on Peyton and bring more people after him, but they didn't seem to do that at the beginning of the game anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. I think our game plan was really good around that. And offensive line must have had a pretty good game in pass protection. But I think, all of us have been kind of, when I say all of us, me and all my old teammates, we ran the wishbone, so we want to run the ball anyway. But we've kind of felt like all year that our best chance to be a good offensive football team and create an identity would have been run first and then pass when you want to, not the other way around. And I think I know Coach Freeze's offense is, really big on the RPOs and that's great. But I just, being a Monday morning quarterback or whatever, we felt like for most of this season that, we wish we'd run the ball more then, but hey, you know what? All that's in the past, and we've won two games in a row, and the athletic department, before every game, they kind of send out their information and it tells you what color theme we're going to be for that game. So
yeah.
ULM was Navy, and then Texas A&M was Navy, and I'm wearing my Navy Auburn hat and my Navy pullover, and I hadn't taken it off in 2 weeks.
You're going to keep it going, huh?
I read this morning we're supposed to be Navy in Tuscaloosa, so I may wear – this thing's not going to smell too good by the time we get finished playing Alabama. But I'm superstitious, so I'm going to keep wearing it.
I want to take a minute to tell you about Henry Hardy and Horizon Financial, a company built on knowledge, personal service, and integrity. Henry Hardy has over 32 years in financial services. Henry Hardy is a SmartVestor Pro utilizing Dave Ramsey's investing principles, and that tells me a lot. If you're looking for wealth management, retirement planning, call Henry Hardy and Horizon Financial, 251-625-2220, located across from the Eastern Shore Center at 1 Timber Way, Suite 100 in Daphne, Alabama. Securities and investment advisory services offered through Sage Point Financial Incorporated, SPF, member FINRA, SIPC. Working with an advisor who subscribes to the SmartVestor Pro Network cannot guarantee investment success or that financial goals will be achieved. Advisors pay a fee to belong to the SmartVestor Pro program. Dave Ramsey and the Dave Ramsey SmartVestor Pro program are not affiliated with Sage Point Financial Incorporated and are not sponsored or endorsed by Sage Point Financial Incorporated. Back on the Horizon Financial Halftime Report with former Auburn quarterback Randy Campbell. Randy, appreciate you joining us again. We were talking a little bit about the Auburn crowd and the Auburn atmosphere and the Auburn people this past weekend. Really a special environment, as you said. And just to think how the fans reacted, a lot of people had a problem with the fans rushing the field after the game. But just another instance where it says a lot about the Auburn family, a team with a record like we have, and for all that to happen Saturday night, that was an amazing environment, wasn't it?
It was fantastic. And, you know, Auburn people are very loyal. I mean, they voice their opinion, and you'll get the occasional boo coming from the crowd when things don't go right. But when it's time to tee it up the next week, Auburn people show up. They're very loyal, and great fans, a great atmosphere. Probably one of the hardest places to play in the country, I would assume, would be Jordan-Hare Stadium at night in a big SEC game. And I don't know. It's great to be an Auburn Tiger.
Yeah. I would think you'd have to say that after last Saturday night and what we've witnessed over our lifetimes. But you never had the chance to go to Tuscaloosa in your career. You went to Legion Field. But how did you prepare, Randy, for the Iron Bowl? Of course, you guys had a lot of success heading into that game, but did you do anything different, or was it just keep doing the same thing? We're doing it right. We're winning. Let's keep doing the same thing.
I mean, I think it was more of we're doing it right. Let's keep doing the same thing. But I would say that there's just because of who you're playing, and for Auburn anyway, you know, Alabama kind of bounced their fans and their people bounce around between, you know, is Auburn our biggest rival or Tennessee, or they may even ask, you know, whoever they lost to recently all of a sudden becomes their biggest rival. Well,
yeah, maybe Oklahoma, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Today, that's probably their biggest rival.
Yeah.
You know, Alabama's always been Auburn's biggest rival. Georgia's huge, but it's not going to be a bigger game than Alabama. And I think because of that, I think there was always a little more mental focus the week, or back then it was 2 weeks in preparation for that game, but there was always a little bit sharper mental focus. And at the same time, you have to be very careful to kind of keep your emotions down, or at least I did as a quarterback. Maybe, you know, if you're a bone crushing linebacker, maybe you let that get in your system and it helps you. But trying to keep the game in perspective and keep those emotions down a little bit while at the same time being kind of laser focused. It's almost like, I don't know. It's very intense.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember, I think it was 1982 when we used to have the bubble in Auburn, and they had the big sign on top of the bubble there that said beat Bama. It sticks in my mind. But anyway, the 82 game, I think most people thought Auburn had a good chance to win that football game going in. And that, I'm thinking of that final drive when you guys went down the field and Bo went over the top. Do you remember anything? Does anything stick out in your mind about that still, like before the drive, we got to do this or whatever?
Well, I mean, there are a lot of things during the drive that stick out to me. Most people, you know, we didn't throw the ball a lot. We ran the wishbone. But if you go back and watch that drive, there were 15 offensive plays called. And I think on two of the plays, there were penalties. So, you know, 13 of those 15 plays actually counted. But we threw 8 passes in 15 plays and only had 7 run plays. And we weren't passing because we were in third and long, except one time. We had a 3rd and 14. I think it was after a sack. We had a 3rd and 14, And anytime somebody used to ask Coach Dye about me, that's the play he brings up, because we threw a ball to Mike Edwards for a 15-yard gain, and he was 2 feet away from Coach Bryant right on the sideline.
Yeah.
And he was, the defensive back was very close to him, and he was not even he wasn't the primary receiver. He was into the boundary, and the primary receiver was to the field. And I read the coverage and turned through to a spot that I knew Mike would be in. I have fun with, I have a lot of another play, obviously the pass play that was the, go for it home run post route to Chris Woods that Jeremiah Castile intercepted. That's probably the lowest point in my entire college career, because I threw the ball and then I got knocked down on the turf and I heard the crowd explode. Well, I didn't know if that was because we scored or what, when I got off the ground, I looked toward our sideline and I saw Coach Dye way out on the field, and he was screaming and pointing that way. And that's kind of when I realized that they had intercepted the ball.
Yeah.
And for those few seconds, I thought for sure I had lost the game until I saw the flag and the interference was called. But one of my favorite plays to talk about was the third and goal. I think, I don't know if we were on the 9, 10 or 11 yard line, and it's the picture you've got behind you there. And I threw a swing pass to Bo, and I tease Bo all the time. I did this one time in a crowd of 500 people. Bo and I were doing like an ESPN interview thing. I was interviewing him and he was the guest of honor. And I said, "Hey, Bo," I said, "when you were growing up, did you ever dream about, playing in a big game against your biggest rival? And, you get the ball at the end and you get a chance to win it, kind of like the golfers do when they're, when you're a kid or a teenager practicing golf, you always put in your mind, this is a putt to win the Masters or something." Yeah. And he said, "Yeah." He said, "Yeah." And I said, "I did too." I said, "If you'd have scored on that pass I threw to you on third down instead of getting knocked down at the 1 foot line, the Birmingham News would have said Randy Campbell throws winning touchdown pass to beat Alabama for the first time in 10 years.
I'd have had you sign that, right?
Yeah, I would have been in the picture. And Daniel Moore may have had to do a different painting, but that's not what happened. And I get a kick out of teasing Bo about that. But, somebody asked me last week in one of these interviews for the Walter Gilbert Award, they asked me which one of those games, 82 or 83, meant the most. And I didn't think about it too much. I immediately said 82, even though, 83, we had to win the game to have sole possession of the SEC championship. So I guess technically 83 was a more important game, but 82 to me was the most important because we had lost so many and it was time to right the ship. And yeah. Coach Dye had us in a good position to do that. Talking about Auburn fans, gosh, 2 weeks before that Iron Bowl in 82, we get beat by Georgia 19-14 in Auburn, and we had the ball on inside their 10, four plays at the end of the game and couldn't score. And I remember we were all in the locker room, everybody was silent. Coach Dye hadn't started talking yet. And then he just said, "Those are our people out there." And you could hear inside a locker room with the door shut, you could hear Auburn's fans chanting, "It's great to be an Auburn Tiger."
Yeah.
That almost gives me chill bumps to even think about that. But that's the, we just lost a game to a top five team and had a chance to win. And they weren't upset, booing and leaving the stadium because we got beat. They were still there because they saw hope, I think, in that game and in our team. And 2 weeks later, that helped us be able to finally, close out our game and play 60 minutes.
Back with more with Randy Campbell, former Auburn Tigers quarterback, on Tiger Talk Overtime in just a minute. Stay right here.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, call the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line now, 343-0106. Now, back to Doug Holton.
Welcome back to the show, visiting with Randy Camp a little bit, former Auburn Tiger quarterback. And Randy, I couldn't help but think last weekend, with the events that happened against Texas A&M, the celebration, the victory finally over an SEC team, a good SEC team, and what happened to Alabama. Could this be a turning point? You went through that in 1982. Could last weekend be a turning point like 1982?
I definitely think that it could be.
Yeah.
I really do think it could be. I think that, you know, everything's so different now than it was then. Mainly what I'm talking about is like the transfer portal. So, you know, in 82, we knew we were going to have a really good team personnel wise coming back in 83. I mean, when we showed up for fall practice in 83, before Coach Dice said a word, every one of us already knew our goal was to win the SEC championship. And I mean, the year before, we go 9-3, and two of our losses were, one was to Florida in Gainesville, and they kicked two field goals in the last minute and a half of the game to beat us by 2 points.
Yeah.
And then we play a top five team in Georgia. They may have been ranked number one. I can't remember. They were undefeated when we played them in 82. But, you know, we finished the game. We lose by five. So we only got beat bad one game out of 11. And so in 83, we kind of knew what the expectations were. So some similarities with this year's team at Auburn are we only lost one game that wasn't a close game.
Yeah.
The Georgia game. I mean, all our other losses are, you know, pretty close games. So that's fairly similar. The records aren't similar, but that's simply because of mainly from turnovers.
Yeah.
You know, in 82, we led the nation in the fewest turnovers. We had 14 total, two interceptions and 12 lost fumbles. And this Auburn team is on the opposite end of that spectrum. But they can fix that. If they focus on it and make it a priority, that can be fixed. The biggest difference the answer to the question, are we in the same place and are we going to make that jump, is what's our team going to look like personnel wise in 2 months?
Yeah.
And you know, how many current guys are leaving and how many are staying? And then, you know, Peyton Thorne is a senior. He's gone. And we saw a little bit of play from some of the younger quarterbacks this year. But I don't know how you feel, but I feel like that Auburn's definitely going to have to go to the portal and maybe get two quarterbacks. You know, I don't know. We may wake up a month from now and two or three of the ones on the current team are gone.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they aren't gone, you know, is there one in that group that can be an effective backup if we can find a really good transfer? Or, you know, it's something we talk about and think about all the time, but not actually being in that situation, I don't know how they deal with it. I mean, everybody's having to deal with it, so it's a fair playing ground or playing field, but man, what a weird time in college football.
Yeah, it really is, and I can't imagine being, like you said, an assistant football coach now. It's like the job never ends. But, you mentioned, you know, the close games, I think, of this year, like you mentioned in 82, 83. But this year, I mean, you got to think Cal and Oklahoma and
Missouri,
whatever. Yeah, Vanderbilt.
Vanderbilt.
All these games, we could, with a little bit here and there, we could be sitting on the doorstep of the 12-team playoff right now.
We could be 9-2. We could possibly be 10-1.
Yeah.
You know, or 8-3. If we just don't beat ourselves in some games, we're at least 8-3. That's three more wins than we've got right now. But
mm-hmm.
So this team, you know, this team actually had the kind of the core to be a really good team. And just, you know, turnovers to me are the worst thing. And then untimely penalties sometimes on defense and offense, mostly defense for that. But, you know, that really hurt us a lot. I don't know.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do at quarterback. And I'm not smart enough to know the answer there, but it's going to be hard for Coach Freeze, I think, to go into next year with the way things have gone the first couple of years and start a guy that doesn't have any college experience. I would think that to be the case.
I don't see him doing that.
Yeah.
I feel like he's, you know, if one of those guys had played some this year and was older, had some experience, maybe just being older. I mean, the first year I started in 82, I had only played, I think in 81, I played 11 total plays the whole season. And half of those were at quarterback and half, or almost half, were at wide receiver, you know. So I didn't have any playing experience, but I was a fourth-year junior.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I was 21 years old or about to be 22. And, you know, so I had a lot of maturity to me, even though I hadn't played a lot in college yet. But, you know, these guys on the team now, I mean, Gardner's been here a while, so he's got some maturity, or should, but they haven't seemed to, I would assume he's third behind, you know, Hank Brown and Walker White. I don't know that, but, you know, Walker White, you know, he was a true freshman this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Hank Brown played in a game. I don't know how his skill set fits into what Freeze really wants to do.
Yeah.
You know, or if he's the best chance we have to win, is Freeze going to be comfortable accommodating him and changing his philosophy a little bit?
Mm-hmm. Seems like he struggled with that this year.
He did. He struggled a lot with it.
Yeah.
He didn't do it. You know? I mean, yeah.
And it seems like Deuce is back at Auburn last weekend. So,
yeah,
who knows what's going to happen there. But anyway, 2:30 kickoff Saturday, obviously a big game for Peyton. What if you had to whisper in his ear a couple things or tell the team something heading into this ball game? I think you've already mentioned a couple of big ones, but what would you say?
I would kind of preach to them that it's a 60-minute game, and if something goes wrong early, don't let it affect you emotionally. Because, you know, there are going to be 92,000 people at the game, and, you know, 85,000 of them are going to be Alabama fans, or 80,000 of them. And, you know, they're going to be all jacked up. I don't know. I would just think that you got to try to keep our kids' emotions in check in case something bad does go wrong early, whether, you know, it's a turnover or a big play. You know, I mean, Milrow with his legs, he's a freak. I mean, he is unbelievable. You know, you chase him out of the pocket, he's liable to take it, you know, wherever he is, all the way. So I would try to guard against something like that, a big emotional play early in the game. Don't let that affect you and how you're going to play. And other than that, you know, it's the same thing as I'm sure they talk about every week. You know, let's don't beat ourselves.
Yeah.
And let's try to play 60 minutes. And I don't know, maybe it's not as hard emotionally for the players today because, you know, so many of, you know, we got a lot of players on our team that are transfers that have come in from other schools.
Mm-hmm.
They may not feel the same way about Alabama that you and I do.
Right.
You know, and maybe that's changed for the players today. I don't know, but it hadn't changed for the fans. I can tell you that.
Yeah. You know? I don't think it has, but no. And you mentioned Milrow. It seemed to be a pretty good, I haven't watched the whole game from last week, Oklahoma game, but it seems to be a pretty big part of Oklahoma's game plan to not let him run the football and beat him with his legs, like you said.
Yeah. If you let him run, if you chase him out of the pocket and let him run it, he's going to hurt you.
Yeah.
So they have to try to find a way to keep him in the pocket and make him throw it, but not quite like last year. You know, we don't want to rush two and give him 8 minutes to throw it, but something in between would be nice.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? You don't want to be a defensive back trying to tackle that in the open field, right?
No.
Yeah. No. Yeah. All right, Randy. Well, appreciate you visiting with us this week on Thanksgiving week and Iron Bowl week. Always good to talk to you. Enjoy the weekend. Hopefully another big Auburn win. We can finish this season out in style. And as always, War Eagle.
War Eagle. Thank you.
Hope that got you ready for the big game. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. And let's get a big win over the Crimson Tide Saturday, 2:30 in Tuscaloosa. You can hear it right here, FM Talk 106.5. Until next week, Doug Holton, War Eagle, everybody.